group, including Chris Whelan Ryder, will share ways for you to join the effort to make lunar solar power a reality. The lunar solar power discussion is coming to KPFT, Houston.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Welcome to this edition of Technology Bites, in whatever format that you may or may not be listening in.
All right, so is this microphone on? We're hoping. I'm going to make sure I'm turned up. Yeah, it's good. I got it. We're fine. Thank you. Welcome to Technology Bites. Stuff is happening. I'm Jay Lee.
My computer's locked up.
Yay.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight. And he's
Rufus.
Not Peter Hughes.
Not
all
Peter
right.
Hughes.
So welcome back to the show. Thanks to everyone who pledged during the fundraiser last week. We appreciate it. Allegedly, we went over our goal. I'm hoping that that actually holds to be true, but we're back to regularly scheduled programming here tonight on Technology Bites, and we're glad for that. Yay. So visit us online at geekradio.com. You can also catch the podcast there if you like. You can do all the stuff you need to do on the website, and that has IRC client on it. But if you want to use your own IRC, you can IRC on irc.cuckoo.com. The channel is Tech Bites. And it's the show within a show. If you don't know how to use your own IRC client, just go to geekradio.com and use ours. We'd happily let you use it. It's Java-based, so be careful. All right, so we are working on getting Peter Hughes here into the studio. We are experiencing our normal technical difficulties. If we ever, figure all this out, we'll probably turn into
Maybe they'll give us our own computer show if we figure it out.
I figured out that Flicted is actually Willie Robertson.
Robertson. So you took a picture. Did you cut off
Willie Robertson's head? No. I think Flicted posted a picture of that out there, and I actually have to admit it, I thought I did. The first one I learned, it's amazing what you can learn in about 30 seconds of Googling. My first Photoshop one was hard. The second one I thought was okay. But yeah, halfway through the second one, I was like, that's actually not Flicted. It was the other guy.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure.
All right. So if you want to be on the air with us tonight, we are taking your calls at 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT. If you want to be on the air, we'll be taking calls. Hopefully we're going to get Peter Hughes here in just a moment so that we will have the Technology Bytes Info Shot, which is our... the news segment of the program. Flicted is looking consternatedly at the control board and stuff. So I don't know what's going on over there. If we don't get Peter Hughes in on Skype, we can always have him dial in, right? If he's listening.
On the pots.
On the pots. So the pots are dams. I hear something.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. There's Peter Hughes.
That's definitely not.
I'm Peter Hughes.
Yay. Well, you know. Okay.
Now we know you're Peter Hughes.
That's kind of like that double authentication, right?
So he's verified on Twitter.
It's a two-factor.
Lycos. He's verified on
Lycos, right.
Didn't they have a dog as a...
Yes, they did.
Dog pile, even. All right, so now we're at full strength, whatever that means. Boy, I've been fiddling all day. I got a GoPro camera.
Where is it?
You got the newest one.
I got the newest one. It's right up there. It's hanging over its. I'm doing a time. I'm doing a time lapse.
Put your clothes back on, Barrett.
Don't pick mine up.
You have 10 seconds to take your clothes off and put them back on.
I'm taking a photo, a 12 megapixel photo.
It flashes in little. Yeah, flashes.
The blue flash is the
countdown.
No, the blue flash is the Wi-Fi. Because it allows. What's really nifty about the new GoPro is that you can connect to it with an app. They have an app for Android and for the iPhone. Which allows you, because one of the things I was having trouble with the camera was, you know, when you mount it, you want to make sure you have it oriented the way you like, and they sell...
You need a preview.
Right, so they make a video back for it that will let you do that, and that's an extra $100 or whatever they want for it, and they get you with all the bits and bobs, just like a Barbie doll or, you know, G.I. Joe or something.
So essentially, we're being surveilled.
We are being surveilled, and the Wi-Fi is enabled, so chances are the NSA is plugged right in.
Hi.
Fortunately,
hi,
they can't hear us.
Sup, yo.
Well, they just have to tune in.
I know. That's the joke. So, yeah, so I'm playing with time lapse because I've got
so
this.
So I can surveil back.
You can surveil back. I'm taking a trip to Ireland, and I want to incorporate at least time lapse into it. I've also got an intervalometer for my regular camera, but I want to mount this to the car, and there's some pretty dangerous or hairy places that you can drive in Ireland where it's one lane road and precarious and so forth. I thought I would document that.
So, and surveil the Irish people.
I represent the NSA on behalf of the USA.
Mail in your videos upon your return to the country, please.
Well, what I'm hoping is that I will have this stop action, you know, time lapse thing that I'm going to actually go back and edit and set it to some fast paced Irish rock. And have it dun 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 dun, and have those images flashing by, and every once in a while it's going to pause on the beat on those, you know, those slower beats where it goes don't don't don't, and it's just going to be a sheep or something.
You mean like U2?
No, not like U2. I was thinking more like Flogging Molly or something.
Black 47.
Do you have a GPS unit in case you get off where the streets have no names?
I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I've got my GPS, and I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
That's okay. Sheep move in mysterious ways.
1 minute while I Google this.
So yeah, it's interesting technology. The camera itself is tiny. It's tiny, and it shoots 4K video, whatever that means. It'll shoot more resolution than I've got the capability to display. And it's all done with a fisheye, so you get the super wide angle. And you can crop it, but there's no point. I mean, there, it allows you to go in there and actually not do a fisheye, do a crop, but you lose resolution. You can crop in post-process. So why shoot in the lower res? So you can shoot, it shoots 12 megapixel still images. And I have a feeling that, you know, I'll just have that many extra hundreds of photos of my trip, if nothing else, from the driving on the wrong side of the road in a country I've only been to once.
So you'll have them for insurance purposes when you crash.
There'll be that too. There are, you know, there's actually
and when the cop stops you and does the body cavity search, you'll be able to catch that too.
The unfortunate thing about the mount that I have for this camera is it doesn't swivel. There are dash cams that are marketed either with front and rear facing cameras, one that faces out the window and one faces the cabin, so that you can document when you get pulled over how you're being treated by the officer, or they'll swivel. This doesn't swivel. So this will only shoot out the windshield of the car.
How wide is the angle?
It's not quite. It's about 120 degree field of view. So it's not quite a full 180, but it's darn close. And that, hopefully the still images will at least allow me to crop out. I'm getting a little bit of hood and dashboard in the shot. Unless I mount it to the top of the car. Now, the suction cup mount will allegedly is rated for 150, 200 miles an hour.
So. Tie your twine to it just in case.
Yes.
Yes. I could tie something springy, so like if it flies off and then it'll reach the end of its tension and snap back.
Jay wants to dangle his camera over the cliffs of Dingle, or at least more. Yeah, yeah, I just wanted to rhyme.
Yeah.
That's all.
I want to dangle over. I want to dangle and dingle. So yeah, I got a friend of mine who's following. You know, we told him we're going to Ireland. We're going to visit Dingle, which is a small county off on the west coast. And he's just enamored. He's just totally taken with the word dingle. So now every time I post on Facebook, he comments something relative to the post, but then he punctuates it at the end with dingle. So. F it up. All right, so we are going to now hopefully go. We're going to have this time lapse. I'll post it on the web hopefully later if it comes out. And it's just going to be the three of us kind of moderately moving because there was
something dangerous could happen. Almost every single video I've seen of something going awry on the internet, a GoPro is involved. Like, nothing ever stupid happens and winds up on the internet without someone taping it.
Maybe a comet will fly through or something. Remember that time K50 got shot up? We got a photo from right before and right after it happened. The beauty of time lapse.
The 9-second robbery.
All right, well, let's go to San Antonio and do the Technology Bytes info bark shot.
It's the Technology Bytes info shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injecting directly into your skull.
All right. Well, here's an interesting one. This is from Facebook. They have a newly launched internet.org coalition, which is intended to deliver mobile internet to everyone, which is more than an attempt to disconnect its next billion users. It's trying to reduce the cost of mobile data for the 5 billion people who are not online by making mobile data cheaper to deliver and apps more efficient. So it's kind of aimed at getting more of the world onto the internet. Facebook has signed up top wireless chip makers Qualcomm and MediaTek, as well as device equipment makers like Samsung, and you know Samsung has a chip business too, Nokia and Ericsson, to take part in the coalition. In a call last night with Jay Parikh, GigaOM, their reporter, said that their impression was that Facebook doesn't seem to have much of a beyond a plan to make this happen, and two, if it really wants to shake things up, it should try to bypass carriers as much as possible. The main thing is that at the moment, again, according to this person's opinion of GigaOM, like Elon Musk's Hyperloop plans, there's no detailed PDF to detail how it'll happen. The announcement and white paper spent a lot of time discussing the problem and ideas for solutions without ever specifying the details needed to understand how they're going to make it happen. It is worth saying, though, that making the effort to open up more parts of the world to getting internet access is certainly a worthy goal. I think they call it philanthrocapitalism or something like that. So, you know, if the side effect, you know, one side is their business and the other side effect is more internet for more people, I don't know, it might be a fair trade. Another interesting one is, let's see here. Oh, and this one didn't load. Nice. So skipping to the next story. The government, you know, they're hip, they're cool, they aren't squares. They want to be more transparent, right? You know, President Obama swore to preserve the sprawling data collection programs when Snowden leaked all this stuff about the NSA, but he also vowed to make a number of reforms, including making government's activities more transparent. And today, the government took its first step in that direction. On Tumblr, today the government unveiled an official Tumblr page dubbed IC on the record, where IC stands for intelligence community, and as other people pointed out, icon the record is what the URL spells, along with a corresponding Twitter account. So they're hip, they're cool. The official mission statement of the Tumblr, according to an introductory post by NSA honcho James Clapper, is to provide, quote, immediate, ongoing, and direct access to factual information related to the lawful foreign surveillance activities carried out by the U.S. intelligence community. Of course, you know, I know how to read these guys. I mean, I've sort of followed how this stuff works. When an intelligence guy says every word in that sentence means something, and I would zero you in on the, they're ready to talk about the lawful activities carried out by the U.S. intelligence community. They are not there to talk about anything they did that may be illegal. A representative from EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, commented that the organization supports additional government transparency around NSA surveillance, but the icon, the record, Tumblr avoids official government channels for transparency and oversight. Many of these documents should have been released through other means. So these are documents they held out, apparently. A lot of the things on it are things they held out from Freedom of Information requests, etc. So far, the website offers previously available government documents regarding privacy and surveillance, including a transcript of a Q&A with the NSA's Deputy Director John C. Inglis, from 2009. The website was announced during a conference call with reporters. There's a good modern way to release their stuff. During the call, more classified documents were promised to be available on the site, but as of publishing, the only, quote, declassified documents, unquote, on the site have already been available for several weeks, which now in the internet age, that's pretty old, but at least they're cool on Tumblr. That, you know, it's like having your dad on Tumblr with you. In other NSA news, they apparently collected up to 56,000 emails that were not connected with terrorism. Booster convinced that it's not surprising, but the numbers are finally delayed. The Washington Post reported that newly declassified court documents highlight how the NSA collected up to 56,000 emails per year over a three-year period. The box detailed why the collection is such, quote, wholly domestic. That means all inside the United States. And judging the surveillance court, the NSA stated the surveillance was unintentional, adding that it reported said information to the court. As per ruling, intelligence agencies are required to investigate limits to data collection, and NSA, of course, claims to have since addressed the problem. This information was made public thanks to a recently filed EFF lawsuit. Oops. So, you know, the tough part is us years later finding out things that they did, although 56,000 emails at least seems to be a smaller number. But the NSA, you know, that's what they'll fess up to. So who knows how many others there were.
Yeah. All right, listen, we got to have to, Pete, I don't know if you can hear us or not, but you started breaking up real bad, and it's just unlistenable. So I don't know if he can hear us back. Flicka, can you get on your laptop and tell Pete that he's breaking up too bad and that we had to cut it off? I apologize for that, but there's apparently some kind of I guess there's too many listening devices in here, and it's chewing up the bandwidth.
Well, that's what happens when you mention the NSA. You just kind of, you never want to summon stuff like that.
I don't know how we can I want to just talk about this cool thing that's happened to us, but I don't know what I can say or what I can't say. Can I talk about how it is that we know you, not where you're from or...
We haven't even said who it is, so we're kind of...
I know.
Kind of in the clear.
He actually needs to come and tell the story from his point of view, who he is and what he's doing here. Because the small world thing that just happened to us tonight here on Technology Bites, is he not allowed to say? Can't even say? Did he leave? No, he's right there. Come in here for a second. Essentially, he's gone. He vanished.
Kind of like a spook. Right,
so,
no names.
Over the years of Technology Bites, we've had... Various people have come in and helped out with the show in different capacities. And we've always had a phone screener of some kind. We've had a phone screener. And we've been doing it so long that I've lost track of a lot of the people and a lot of things that have happened on this show. But what's your first name? Can you say that?
Don't
remember. He doesn't remember. Can we say who you're related to or how you're connected? Okay. So, yes. Okay. So, Flicted... came on the show over 10 years ago to be one of the co-hosts. Is it over 10 now? It's got to be over 10 now, yeah. Came onto the show to be a co-host through a, you know, fortuitous series of events. But before there was Flicted, and I did not even put any of this together, there was another person who shared his last name that was involved in the show who answered phones for us. And how long ago was that?
90s. 94, 95.
You were just a listener and just...
I was just a wee little lad.
Was this your first phone screening job?
It was. Oh. I got it on my resume.
You got it on your resume.
You're wishing you hadn't come by now.
Well, at any rate, he's... have y'all met each other before?
Yeah, once.
Once, yeah. So he's a cousin of Flicted. So he was a volunteer here at the station on Technology Bites back when it was Radio X. And then he went away. He mysteriously vanished. And then years later, along comes Flicted. And they don't...
Along came Flicted.
So anyway, he's here tonight. He stopped by, dredging up some old memories, giving us some cool swag. And that's just interesting. I don't know how I feel. I feel like maybe we're being bought off. You know, just kind of...
Doesn't take much.
My price.
Awesome. I mean, you know, good Lord. I'll wear this to Ireland. All right. Well, we're sorry about the news breaking up on us. Hopefully we can restore that connection and get Pete back online. We potted you down, Pete, because you weren't hearing us. Is he there still? Is he gone? Pete, that is?
I'm here.
All right.
Part of why I couldn't hear you, I started, after you started talking, I heard you because I was getting bad echo, and so I had to take the headphones off or I couldn't talk because the echo was all my own voice coming back at me
right.
Half a second later, which is impossible for anybody to speak.
Right. Well, it was breaking up pretty bad. Now you sound pretty clear. Was the echo caused by the connection, or?
I don't know. I'm looking. You know, looking into why this is causing problems. But there's a way to show some technical info, and I'm looking at that. And I'm wondering if there's an issue on my end, something on the router on this end with UDP.
Well, the last thing we heard you talking about was the NSA.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you started breaking up.
I'm sure it was totally unintentional, their blocking of the rest of the story about the NSA.
So if you want to backpedal to that point and then finish it up, we can try that. Now it sounds better again.
Okay. I guess real quickly. Yeah, and I'm not getting the echo and that kind of stuff. I don't know why it changed, but anyways... Microsoft has launched Bing for Schools in a pilot phase. The test lets more than 800,000 K-12 students search Bing ad-free, so that's nice, while receiving daily learning activities, improved privacy, and automatic adult content filtering. Schools wanting to join the pilot can apply today. Let's see. If you've already graduated from K-12, you can pitch in too. Microsoft has launched a program that lets Bing Rewards members contribute their credits towards Surface RT tablets for their preferred schools. You know, with the low sales and the big markdown that Microsoft took on those tablets, maybe they should give them out for free. Anyways, you can look up Bing for Schools, and if you have such an interest, and if you're one of the few people who's built up Bing Rewards. And finally, this one, there was an app that was put onto the App Store called Jekyll. And you know, most of you out there, you know, as the kind of people who listen to this show, probably watch, you know, sci-fi type movies and all that. And so when you hear something called Jekyll, you immediately think Mr. Hyde. Well, the researchers from the Georgia Institute of Technology uploaded this, uploaded Jekyll, and it was clean and went through the, went through all the screenings and stuff. But it worked by taking the binary code that had already been digitally signed by Apple and rearranging it in a way that gave it new and malicious behaviors, the Mr. Hyde section. Their method allows attackers to reliably hide malicious behavior that would otherwise get their app rejected by the app review process. Once the app passes the review and is installed on an end user's device, according to the researchers, it can be instructed to carry out the intended attacks. The key idea is to make the apps remotely exploitable and subsequently introduce malicious control flows by rearranging signed code. Since the new control flows do not exist during the app review process, such apps named Jekyll apps can stay undetected when reviewed and easily obtain approval. Ouch. Apple representatives didn't immediately respond to a request for comment, but company spokesman Tom Neumeyer told MIT Technology Review that developers made changes to the iOS operating system in response to the issues identified in the paper, but it's not clear if the vulnerabilities have been completely fixed. The Jekyll app was only active for a few minutes following its launch in March, and during that time it was not installed by anyone not involved in the experiment. So they didn't like flood this out and it didn't go all over the place. The app had the ability to carry out a variety of malicious attacks, including stealthily sending tweets, emails, and text messages, stealing device ID numbers, taking photos, and attacking other apps. It could also cause Apple's Safari browser to load booby-trapped websites. The attack described by the researchers in some ways resembles an exploit that allows hackers to inject malicious code into legitimate Android apps without invalidating their digital signature. The so-called master key vulnerability was also discovered by White Hat researchers, and it's now being exploited by some third-party marketplaces. So on the plus side, I mean, it's good that this was found, and if it gets addressed, that's a good thing. But boy, you know, you worry about are there any of these things that have gotten through and they don't know. So we'll keep an eye on these kinds of stories, because obviously you have less access to know what's really going on inside your Android tablet or your iOS device. And so if it gets exploited, you have a lot less ability, even if you're a more power user like, say, people on this show, you have a lot less ability to detect what's going on and figure out where you got hacked. And that's the news.
All right. Well, you went down when you started talking about the NSA, and then when we brought you back up, the NSA.gov website is down.
Internal server error.
I struck back.
Internal server error.
That's right.
Huh.
We're not sure what's going on there. All right. So that's the news.
The rebels struck the NSA Death Star.
I hope it's okay to tweet this picture of this thing.
If there are any dissidents that are doing a DDoS against the NSA.gov, would you please stop so we can see if they sell hats?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to open up the phone lines now, 713-526-5738. We can let the old phone guy screen a call or two for old times' sake.
He can do it from his laptop.
Oh, my God. I just thought of the best joke, and I can't tell it. All right. So, anyway, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. And I see we have one call in the queue. We have all the other lines are opened up. So Man, I want to tell that joke so bad. All right, 713-526-5738. Groove House. Mr. Groove House. Yeah. Paging Groove House.
Present.
Who is up by the length of the hold and being first on the show?
Up first on the show, we're going to speak with George.
George, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question for you. I have a computer that's about 7 years old, and it's running slow. Now, before you roll your eyes up in your head, I have to tell you the whole story behind that. The power supply went out on it, and I had a new power supply put in. And several years ago, I had bought a hard drive, a 500-gig hard drive. It came with a 200-gig hard drive, and I was going to put it in myself, but I said, man, too much trouble, too much bother, couldn't figure it out. So I just didn't even bother. So while the computer was at the shop getting the power supply put in, I had to put in the hard drive. And the computer, when I got it back, I did not have them transfer any data over or anything like that. Just the hard drive came back to me with the operating system on it.
Okay.
The system was running slow. And then the computer actually shut itself off a couple of times. I tried to read a CD and things like that. I checked the hard drive, and it told me that it needed to be, it was fragmented. I don't understand how you could have a new hard drive and it's fragmented, but it told me to fragment the drive. I did. And the computer's running better, but everything's running slow. Like to open a browser takes me a
minute. Now, did you put a new drive into your computer?
Yes.
Is it?
I didn't. The guy at the shop did.
Okay, it's brand new?
Yes. And as I say, everything is slow now to open a browser, to open a real audio, to convert a wave to an...
What was the issue that caused you to take it into the shop in the first place?
The power supply went out.
The power supply went out. So do you know if the power supply went out because of an electrical shock or something?
Not that I know of. I just assumed since it was that old that the thing runs all the time. I just figured it was the time for it to die. I never gave it much thought. But it wasn't like lightning or anything.
Well, I mean, the way it's acting on the drive, if it's saying it's fragmented and things are slow to load and it's just a clean install of the operating system, I mean, the drive itself could be faulty, or there could be an issue with the drive controller or something else going on. There might be more hardware issues than you're aware of, and it just manifested itself as the power supply going out, but there may be other issues. I don't know what they might be exactly. How old is the computer?
7 years.
7 years?
And it surprised me with a new hard drive. I had 1 gig of memory in it, maybe that. Someone told me it maybe had...
Wait a minute, how much memory?
1 gig.
You only have 1 gig?
Yes.
That is a very, very low amount of RAM for a computer. You know, on a 7-year-old computer, I would not necessarily throw a bunch of money at it, but are you breaking up there real bad? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Is that your phone?
Nope, not me.
All right, so.
I actually hear you.
Yeah, but I'm getting a lot of static on you, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and let you go. It cleared up? Or did it just turn it down? No, there it is.
No, I'm
getting a lot of static on the line, but let me go ahead and hang up with you. I'll answer it offline so we can get rid of that noise. Sorry about that. A 7-year-old computer with a gig of RAM is going to be, it's going to be a little bit tough on the performance if you're running Windows 7 or even XP. 1 gig of RAM is just, it really is too little. So I would consider upping the RAM, but I'm worried about the hard drive being fragmented when you got it. It's not necessarily a sign of a problem, but it could be. But on a 7-year-old PC where you've already started to have hardware fail, you may want to consider getting a new computer. Even if you got a secondhand computer that was a little newer than that one, if you went to the Goodwill computer store or something, might be a better option than putting more money into that computer. So I don't know what else to tell you on that. But I would say for sure, if you're wanting to keep that computer around, and I don't know why necessarily you would, because for what it costs to replace the power supply, put in the hard drive, add more memory. If you bought the cheapest computer that was on the market today, it would literally run circles around that machine. Okay. 713-526-5738. Actually, no, that's probably a good idea. So let me see if I have the proper thing I need to dispatch. dispatch. Oh, he's got it. All right. 713-526-5738. We will just take those calls cold if Roofhouse doesn't get back to screen him or afflicted. Or wants to screen him, that's fine. I'm having troubles with my...
You had trouble last week. Of course, it was fundraiser and you talked and talked.
I did talk a lot.
And talk and talk and talk.
Yeah. But now I just have been really congested the last few
so
weeks.
I'm continuing in my series of reviews of little cars with big tech.
Little cars, big tech.
And I've got a Dodge Dart, which is just a really surprising car. When they offered it to me, I was kind of like, oh, God, my ex-wife drove a Dart in the 70s. And
they come a long way?
They've come quite a long way. And this is a collaboration between Fiat and Dodge, and I'll write about it. Probably, it'll probably appear Monday on Cron.com. But what is surprising about it is of the three cars I've tried, the Prius, a C, the Kia Soul, and this Dodge Dart, this has the best tech of all of them, mainly because it's what I've found so far is that at least on low-end cars, the touch screens and the interfaces and so forth are not necessarily intuitive. How easy it is to figure out how to pair your Bluetooth phone is a good test. And I was able to just walk right into it and do it immediately on this one. That hadn't been the case with the others. So it doesn't have much pep. There's apparently a turbo version that does better. It's got leather inside. It's beautifully appointed inside. It has hidden compartments under the seats. You lift the seat up, and there's a box for your dope or your guns. And, and hey, cops.
Kids today.
And he gets about 34 miles
on the road.
How
many of your guns and how much of your dope have you been able to store in there?
Well, you know.
All of it, right? That's right, the answer.
Exactly. That's the answer, all of it. At least that I remember. So it's I'm pretty impressed. The tech you're finding in affordable cars, and I would say affordable is under 25, is getting really, really impressive.
And you've got one more up in the series, don't you?
I've got a few more. I'm getting a Fiat 500L, which is the 4-door version of the little Fiat you see running around. And then I'm probably going to do a Ford, either Fiesta or Focus. And that will probably do it. And then at some point, within probably a year, I will buy one of these cars. So,
all right. So I see Groovehouse is screening a call as we speak, so that's good. We now have proper file.
That's been up since I've been in here.
Okay.
That may be from the previous show.
I don't want Possibly. Proper file. I want single file.
You now have proper file.
All your file or belong to us.
Someone set us
we
up
We should
the file.
Talk about the Geek Gathering because it's coming up.
I've got it on Barrett Time, which we have one of.
We have a Barrett Time? Wait a minute.
Finally. Whoa! I know.
Sadly, that's the entirety of it. We have a Geek Gathering.
Well, blow me down. All right. So we're waiting on Groovehouse to get this call to us. Apparently when people call into the show, they like to dominate Groovehouse.
Groovehouse
time.
Is too nice. He's too nice to talk to.
Wow.
People have a hard time getting off the phone.
This mug has a blinking light.
Mug's pretty awesome.
Has a blinking light on it. It's okay, now that's weird. No, it's not. Okay. It's just that you can see that what's printed on the outside on the inside.
Oh yeah.
It's like one-way mirror. What is that called? They can see you. Your drink can see you.
It's an observation.
Do you think at the NSA, while they're reading our email, they sip from these? And
they might. Yeah. Ha ha, they say. Gentlemen, to evil.
I usually don't bring like stuff like this into work, but this
You're going to bring that to work?
This is sitting on my desk at the Mighty Houston Chronicle, I got to tell you that. Maybe not for long.
All right. So, Groovehouse, have you got the calls? What do we got going on? Nothing? We don't know? There's a call coming in. All right. Well, if you're going to call in and you want to be on the air, just take it easy with Groovehouse. Tell him your name. Tell him what you want. And let him put you on hold so he can get you on the air. And then we get a few people built up into our on-the-air phone call queue. Then you can, chat it up with Groovehouse. What?
I just discovered. So I was looking at this Google
The doodle?
Go to your doodle today. Google. And what do you see when you go to Google.com? You probably don't see that.
I don't, because it's your birthday.
Right. Oh. They have personalized.
They personalized the Google Doodle.
Yes, so I've been looking at this. And
it's
going,
your birthday.
It's an invasion of privacy with sprinkles.
And so when you click the doodle and it's your birthday, it brings up your Google Plus profile.
Now, if you click on the Google Doodle, does it search for things based on this date, like this day in history?
No, it just goes to my Google Plus.
It'd be cooler if it Googled you, you know, like it does with other Googles.
Yeah, you know, there is no results here.
Wow. So by that, which brings up the subject that today is your birthday.
Yes.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Dwight.
Thank you. I'm a mere 57.
Wow.
So I'm staring down the barrel of 60.
You are staring down the barrel of 60.
Yeah.
713-526-5738. Quick call before Dwight dies.
Let Dwight finish before he forgets what he was saying.
Oh, it's too late.
I forgot what I'm saying. Yeah.
Wow. We'll just have to talk slower. Be quiet.
Well, hopefully y'all will get there too at some point.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm no spring chicken myself. We're those guys now doing tech radio. When we used to be kind of younger and hipper, and we brought Flicted and Groovehouse and Barrett in,
and now they're getting old.
Yeah, sorry about that.
And so it's Groovehouse's turn to be the.
Just have to find who's going to replace you.
No, actually, we're just counting down to the moment when we switch from helping people with, you know, where they need to get new technology to griping at them for why did they buy a new one? The one they've already got is
works just
fine.
That's right.
Well, I'm just waiting for.
I had Windows 8, and we liked it.
I'm just waiting for that phone call to come in. It says, "My medical supply hospital bed that I got is not reclining properly," or. You know, my BiPAP, I'm not getting enough oxygen.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
That'll be a whole other show right there. All right, 713-526-5738. I see a phone call coming in. We are getting a little slow start. We're not asking you for money this week. So we hope that you will give us a call if you want to be on the air with us tonight here on Technology Bites. 713-526-KPFT. Is the number to call. I want it to be my birthday. I wonder if I go into my Google profile and change my birthday.
I bet you could script it to where it's your birthday every day. Unless they put a block on that. That'd be kind of fun, though.
Somebody on IRC is bragging that they're older than you, Dwight. I'm just really not
There's
sure.
There's a lot of people older than
yeah.
me. That's not necessarily...
It's not necessarily a point of pride.
Right.
You know.
He's claiming he was born January 1st, 1900, though, so his credibility, he may not actually be older than Dwight.
January 1, 1900, I don't believe it.
I think he needs to reset his clock, his CMOS clock.
All right, well, I see we got some calls in the queue all of a sudden. Groovehouse? Oh, Groovehouse?
Yes.
Hi, Groovehouse.
Hi, Jake.
What's up?
Oh, got a couple calls in the queue.
Really? You want to be on the air?
Yeah.
Who are they?
All right. Next up, we're going to speak with Jenny.
Jenny, you're on the air with Technology Bites. Or not. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. I am a definite Mac person, and
okay.
I now have two kind of old MacBooks, and I really want to get one of the new MacBooks, but I don't know if I can stand waiting until October and if it would be worth waiting for.
Are they refreshing the MacBook Pros in October?
There are rumors, always rumors, that something is coming from Apple at some point. There's no guarantee that will happen.
Okay.
We know that there will be probably an iPhone announced next month, probably iPads after that.
Mavericks is coming out. They usually like to release it with a brand new piece
hardware.
Of hardware.
That's true.
So
they may be refreshed, but it's probably not going to be a design refresh. It'll probably be an internals refresh.
Okay.
Isn't there a site that you can go to?
MacRumors.com.
Yeah, no, isn't there a site that tells you about whether it's a good time to buy?
Yes, is it MacRumors.com? Yeah, yeah. Well, if you can actually go there, it'll tell you like how long it's been since the last refresh release. It'll tell you like, you know, like how long it usually is in between releases, like 18 months or so. It'll tell you like when the next developers conference, when the next big thing that they could release something. And then it'll give you, if you don't want to have to process all that yourself, either a green light or a red light on the safe to buy. So look at all that. Make your decision. But as Jay always says, you know, it's better to have something in your hands than, you know, be looking at
how old is the Mac that you have
now? If you look at the Mac Rumors Buyer's Guide.
That's what I was looking for, yeah.
Buyer'sGuide.MacRumors.com.
Okay. It's like a 2008.
Well, that's not that old, right? So
if it's late 2008, then it only was eligible for Mountain Lion. If it's early 2008, then it wasn't.
Really?
Yeah, it has Mountain Lion. So
okay, but yeah. It's an Intel Mac, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like Barrett mentioned that I've said before, you know. Waiting isn't always, I mean, unless you're really trying to save money or you really have to have the latest, greatest.
Yeah, it's not that. It's just like, you know, I've heard that there's supposed to be some great improvements on it. And so, like, I hate to put down, like, 2000 only to find out that, oh, if I'd waited another month, I could have gotten, you know, something that's a lot faster.
Well, I will say that, you know, this last batch of refreshes. I got a new iMac and I got a new MacBook Air, and the MacBook Air is the top of the line, newest one, and the iMac is not top of the line, but it's pretty high up there, but it's also the newest one. And it's nice, you know, to feel like, okay, if anything gets announced in the next 6 to 8 months, I'm not going to feel too bad.
Out of the Macs, the Mac Rumors Buyer's Guide, basically the MacBook Air is the only of the computers, you know, ignoring the iPods and other stuff, that's the only one of the computers that they say, green light, now's a great time to buy. The rest of them have red, which means they suspect that there's something coming soon enough that you might be unhappy if you bought now.
Although for the laptops, I mean, they've already introduced Thunderbolt. They've done, you know, the high visual, the nice displays with the Retina display, and they've got, you know, they've done pretty much everything they're going to do. I don't think anything white.
Boost Haswell. They don't have the Haswell processors, I don't believe yet, yeah. And that would boost battery.
Well, are you interested at all in the MacBook Air, or are you thinking about a MacBook Pro?
I was looking at the MacBook Pro.
Any particular reason for that?
You know, I'm trying to remember, but I still want the CD drives because I have some software that's still on CDs, and I know one of them didn't have the drive.
Right, the Air doesn't have the drive.
Yeah, and that's why I was going with the Pro.
The new Retina 15-inch does not have
a drive.
The drives, yeah, the CDs. Yeah. So
they're going away. The next generations that come out may or may not actually have the drive.
Yeah, you may want to get it now if you want to get a built-in drive. They also sell an external super drive, so you can get an external
one. Now, the other thing to do is, you know, if you take all of your install media that you have now, you could copy that to flash drives or to a hard drive into folders, and you can install from there. You don't have to have you don't have to install from the CD. So if you have the software, you can just copy that software either to an ISO file that you could then open up and then install from. Like, you could virtually mount an ISO. So you don't really have to have those disks. You could make digital copies of them that you could then install. I install almost everything from digital media rather than CD or DVD media.
Okay.
So if it's really a concern, there are plenty of external CD drives that you can, you know, have on hand for when you need to install from those disks that you don't have to have full time.
Okay.
But, you know, if you're interested in the MacBook Pro, I don't fault you for that. My last MacBook was a Pro, and I liked it quite a bit. The new Airs are very capable. They're super fast. They do everything that I can imagine most people need to do with a laptop. and it's really nice. I mean,
I switched over from MacBook Pro. I carried three or four of those in a row and switched over to the Air. And now every time I go to pick up one of my old Pros, it's so heavy. I just don't want to do it. So what it really comes down to now is screen size.
Right.
I think in keyboard size, it's not necessarily performance anymore.
Yeah, it's not a slouch in terms of performance. It does great, and I do. I sold my MacBook Pro to my coworker, and every once in a while, I forget to bring my Mac to work, and I need to look at a Mac. And I say, "Hand me that thing, and let me have a look." And I pick it up. It's like, "Oh my God, this thing's a brick!" And it's only like a half pound heavier, but still, you get used to having that shedding that little bit of weight makes a lot of difference, especially if you're old like us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate the tip.
Appreciate your call. Have a good night.
You too.
I don't know what's going on with our phone lines tonight. They are static.
Right, it's just been line one so far, but we haven't been off another phone line yet. So
right, well, let's see
what
happens
up on
line two, so or three, whichever one's next. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up?
Up next, we're going to speak with James.
James, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's all right.
Here's the deal. My main web browser is Google Chrome, and lately, I use YouTube a lot. If I just normally, bring up Google Chrome and try and watch a video, I will hear the audio, but I won't see, any of the, visual video at all, and I won't be able to control the volume or the pause and play or any of the control panel type stuff. And the thing is, if I normally just bring up Google Chrome, I'm unable to, do any of the stuff I described. But if I bring it up in the incognito window, then it just works like normal and there's no problem or anything like that. So I was hoping you might be able to, shed some insight on that whole thing.
So Google Chrome, playing YouTube videos, in normal mode, you don't have volume, or you hear the sound, you don't see the video, or you don't have any of the player controls. But if you come up in incognito mode, you have full access.
That's the gist of it, yeah.
Have you changed any of the security settings in the browser, just for normal browser behavior?
No, I haven't done anything like that, really. Really, the number one educated guess I have, or uneducated guess rather I should say, since I'm not really that technologically literate, is that I kind of lots of times in the past for movies and stuff like that, I've gone to these free Russian movie websites or whatever, where God knows what you're downloading whenever you load a movie. So there is a correlation I personally have noticed, since doing that, where
you might have
it started with
the what's cool, I guess this might explain it too. If the incognito might bypass any proxies or something that spyware has installed on your PC, allowing you to get to where you need to get. But if you've got spyware or redirects or something else like that going on, and if you've been visiting those kind of sites, then it's quite possible that you have a computer that's completely infected with nastiness.
The best advice we can give you is don't visit those kinds of sites.
Well, but now that you have and you need to clean up after yourself, you need... But,
oh, no, go ahead. I've got a solution after that, though.
All right, well, I was going to say is that you might want to do a cursory scan to make sure that you don't have some kind of malware or some Trojans on your computer. So, we recommend a few different tools. If you go to geekradio.com under the spywares link, but Malwarebytes and Hitman Pro and Combo Fix, and at least scan to see if you got something going on.
The other quick thing, you can try creating a new browser user profile under Chrome. And a lot of people that have surfed to some of the same sites and are having the same issues, the new user profile under Chrome, not under Windows, will take care of it. So you can at least see if that's the issue.
Where is that option in Chrome?
Let's see. It depends on which OS you've got. So for the Mac, it'll be go to the menu folder, and then you've actually got to type in library applications, application support, Google Chrome. Then there's a default. Just Google create a new browser update. Create a new browser user profile.
Okay, so I just have to Google that, and it'll give me instructions. I don't have to, uninstall and reinstall.
It's a single file that you kind of have to edit and run. It's not something you can just double-click on or select from, tools history or something like that. You actually have to, quit it and then go edit this file, launch it again, and you should be in good shape.
Oh, okay, so So, I mean, and I should say that I haven't, you know, after seeing what's happened to my computer, I really haven't been visiting those sites since. But, has anything I possibly may have done brought my computer to the point where I'm going to need to, you know, pay money to have it fixed or anything like
that? Well, you know, my philosophy on that is that, you know, a little bit of knowledge goes a long way. So the worst that's happened is that you've damaged your software in some regards. You've got malware on there. You've got spyware on there. Something has corrupted your software. You should have the ability to recover from that because you've made good, reliable backups, or you have the recovery software that came with the computer so you can reload it. That's all free.
Okay.
But if you've abused your computer and mistreated it and now it's not working properly, the software's messed up, but you don't have any way, you don't know how to do it, you don't know how to recover or restore it, then yes, you're talking about paying somebody to do that for you. But when you first bought your computer, it should have told you, make these disks so that you can reinstall the software should anything bad happen.
Yeah.
Did you do that? Doesn't sound like you did.
No, not to my recollection. Right. It has been a couple of years since I bought this computer.
But you might be able to recover just by, I would scan for spyware. The solution that Barrett offered, if you've got spyware, the solution will help you temporarily. But if you've got spyware, that's going to continue to chew away at your software. It's also potentially compromising your security and your identity, depending on what information it may be collecting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you want to make sure you get that cleaned off as soon as you can.
Okay, and what was that term you guys recommended to Google again?
Oh, it was
Create new profile Google Chrome.
Create new profile Google Chrome.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
All right, good luck. Thanks for your call.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Sure. Hey, you know, if you go surfing these sites looking for, like, free movies and free music and stuff, you have to remember that none of these people really want you to have free movies and free music. It's bait. It's a trap, as Akbar would say. So if you go to those sites, chances are you download something horrible and you pay the price. So you may get your movies for free, but you'll pay for it another way. All right, so it is coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to have to take a short break. Well, who was it that said it's 9 o'clock or something? I heard that.
I think that was the caller's clock. I think he's a little bit fast, about 5 minutes ahead.
Yeah, so you would just want to be real careful with that stuff. Actually, there we are. There's what I was looking for, the nice, pleasant outro music. We're going to have to take a short break here coming up, be all nice and neat. When we're not in fundraiser, we have to be careful with the time breaks here. So,
but we actually have a Barrett time.
Ooh.
Is that correct?
Yeah, quick one.
Are the rumors true?
The rumors are true. We have a Barrett time after we do the short intermission thing that we do at the top of the hour. But we invite you to stick around, hang out for that, because we have high, high, high expectations. It's been a while since we've had a Barrett time.
Expectations shouldn't be that high.
Do you remember how to do it?
Vaguely. I'm formatting it up right now. We'll see how this goes.
Do you know what kind of stuff's included in a Barrett time?
I think.
You know, it's got to be useful information.
Right. Uh-oh. Yeah, already I'm
with
sunk.
A little bit of the dry wit of Barrett that comes from when Barrett's in a good mental space, which we want to... Are you in a good mental space?
I'm getting back. Yeah, work slowed down a little bit. I've slept once or twice the last week. So it's always good.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break and see if Barrett still knows how to do what he does or not. You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Drew Vowles.
And we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi there, this is Dwayne Bradley, KPFT General Manager, thanking all of you who contributed so generously to our just concluded Summer Sizzle Mini Drive. We raised with your help just over $120,000, and I encourage all of you who promised to send in a check to drop that to us as soon as you possibly can. And for those of you who did not participate, we could really use your help now as we approach the end of our fiscal year on September 30th. So please consider a charitable gift to KPFT. Go to our website, kpft.org, and follow the prompt to the donate box. It's quick, easy, and painless. We could use your help. We could use that now. Those of you who pledged, please follow through. Those of you who haven't, please consider a pledge now. KPFT.org. KPFT, Houston.
KPFT is supported in part by Baylor College of Medicine. Have you been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome? Baylor College of Medicine is seeking adults aged 18 to 60 years who have been diagnosed with IBS to participate in a free research study. If qualified, you could receive treatment and compensation. You must have mild to moderate IBS and be able to read and speak English. You could not have had any abdominal surgeries and could not be allergic to penicillin or erythromycin. Call 713-798-0381 for more information. That's 713-798-0381. You're tuned in to 90.1 KPFT Houston.
And after that perfect intro here on 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston, it's now time for Hey Barrett, what's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you
Barrett time! Barrett time! Barrett time!
Yeah. That means it's time for
Barrett time!
Yeah. Anyway. Take it away, Barrett.
Alright. Can I get it right now? Alright. I think that's one alright miss for each Barrett time. Alright. I can't stop. First of all, thanks to all of you who helped us achieve our fundraising goal. And since we didn't have an official Geek Gathering this month, we want to be sure to put September's affair on your radar. The first Friday falls a little late next month, the 6th to be exact, and even though it's been some time since the half the crew's return from DEF CON, I'm sure that information security and clever hacks will factor into more than just a few conversations at Cone's Coffee, Beer, Wine, Art, Arduino's, Pies, Pads, and the occasional platter of free food for Dwight and darts. In addition to the requisite t-shirts, we'll also have a few pieces of hardware to play around with. The new addition is the Wi-Fi Pineapple running Yasuger and Karma. We're going to be on hand to take over your Wi-Fi connection. We've had an earlier version of the Pineapple at Geek Gathering's past, but the new hotness is pretty awesome. With de-auth attacks, DNS spoofing, and packet capture all within a browser click of the Pineapple UI, it may encourage more people to disable auto-join on their wireless devices. Or even better, turn it off completely when not in use. The Bluetooth toy remains the same, but we've come back with new software to power them. Using the Ubertooth 1, we'll show you how easy it is to capture Bluetooth traffic and manipulate mobile handsets as well as doing a general scan to see what devices are in range. Of course, people can't hack what isn't theirs. The best way of defending against these new tools is simply to turn off Bluetooth when you're not actively using it. Anyone notice a pattern here? And of course, all phasers will be set to stun. Everything's been configured to only pay attention to the blacklisted traffic. Blacklisting is a lot like whitelisting in that it is an explicit list of what hosts, computers, or devices are allowed to access certain resource. In this context, whitelisting shields any listed devices from the attack. For example, pen tester or maybe a nefarious hacker wouldn't want to attempt to exploit vulnerabilities on his or her own device. So we'll be telling our toys to play nice with everyone except those devices contained in our blacklist. So if you're unsure of a wireless device's ability to withstand these kinds of attacks, come get blacklisted at the Geek Gathering and we can see what your machines are made of. Also of note, while Flicted and I weren't paying attention at DEF CON, hackers captured Jay Lee and shrunk him down to a little orange head. Luckily, we had a semi-recent backup. Houston, an order has been restored to the universe, mostly. Both the original orange Jay Lee as well as Jay Lee 2.0 will be on hand to check out. Our next and last piece of hardware, something from Joe Grand, called the JTagulator. It aids hardware hackers in accessing the test ports found on most modern electronics. These test ports, named after the Joint Test Action Group, JTAG, get it? give the device its name. Sadly, our own G. Lee will not be tagulating you, at least not in an unsolicited manner. The best part about the J-Tagulator, it's pink. We should probably stop making J-Lee comparisons at this point. I think J-Lee's pink parts are between him and his rubber ducky. Speaking of, I'll have my own rubber ducky on hand. It's called the USB rubber ducky, enclosed in an innocent-looking enough thumb drive. It's actually a microcontroller capable of taking over a laptop in a matter of milliseconds. I can do anything regular users could do while sitting in front of their own laptop or workstation, so be careful who you accept thumb drives from. Oh, and also, bring out a thumb drive if you'd like to get your hands on presentations and speaker material found on the DEF CON DVD. We'd also like to invite the various hacker groups to stop by to say hi. We're talking about 2600, TXRX, and DEF CON 713, and anyone else who may or may not be listening. All these groups get together on the first Friday of the month as well, though I'm unsure if they ever factored in first Thursdays or second Tuesdays into the mix. Maybe Flifted could help them out with that. So we rarely see them. If they do stop by after their own offerings, we may be in for a late night, which is okay, because Cone should have a food truck on site. You know what? We'll even open up our geek gathering to the feds. We know they're listening. Cone's also carries liquid nourishment in the form of wine, beer, and coffee. Things get started a little after 7, a week after Friday next.
Spot the Fed.
Yes, spot the Fed at the Geek Gathering. I think that's Southern for 3 Fridays from now. And of course, all this is in the spirit of fun and education. Every single one of the devices we're going to have on hand can be defended against with a few easy configurations and some simple rules to follow while in the wild. And we'll do our best to equip you with the knowledge you need to stay safe while surfing at your local coffee sipping spot or queuing up to catch a flight. Anyway, this should be the last mention of DEF CON. You'll hear from the hosts at least for a while, at least for me, at least until next year.
Dingle.
That's probably not true. That's it for your J-Lee's J-Tagulation, and that's that for Barrett time.
So you're going to have a lineup at the Geek Gathering?
Yeah, we'll have 4 or 5 things out ready to attack. So the way we'll do it, so it doesn't just, you know, beat up innocent people, is if you have a device and you want to see if it's susceptible, come over, we'll get your MAC address, and then we'll put it in the list, and we'll see if it can, you know, if the stuff can get in.
Hack or be hacked.
Yes.
Wow. Maybe I should cancel my trip.
Oh, are you going to be gone during the Geek Gathering?
Yeah, but I'm sure guessing enough, you won't.
I need to look in that still. I forgot about that. No, I mean, I forgot that the two overlap, because I'm used to, I just realized that the Geek Gathering is not, like, in 2 weeks, it's in 3, so it's later in the month than initially thought.
Yes. It's on the 6th.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's, like I said, it's fairly late.
Yeah. Well, it's cool.
Uh-huh.
It's all cool. I'm sorry I won't be there. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air for the second half of the show. So I spy with my little eye. All right, 713-526-KPFT. We have one call in the queue. We have all the other lines are open. What are you doing over there? What do you got?
I'm playing with a Sony Xperia X.
Give me.
Which is a
Sony.
An Android
should
phone.
Come through here.
It has a very nice camera. I just took a picture with it. And
very, very square. Groove likes it, but I think it doesn't fit.
Yeah, I like
well.
A more contoured feel. Of course, I like iPhone that. 5 is squared, but
I like
it's smaller.
That thing when you turn it on and you...
The shades kind of
thing? Yeah, the shades when you go...
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it has some nice... But, you know, it's like all these phones from brand names and from major carriers, it's loaded with crapware, which...
Oh, my God.
Does it have annoying functions and features that you're familiar with?
It has some functions and features.
Well, yes. Okay, there in the upper left-hand corner is the mode that I'm used to seeing where you can change. That's kind of cool. Yeah, it's got...
Open the pod bay doors, Jay.
I'm opening.
Push over.
Well, I like the little preview. Like, you get the little box of previous photos that you've taken. That's not shabby. You could actually take this and hook it up to that new Sony lens, the cameraless lens, and see what you get. That's nice. I kind of like the form factor, too. I kind of like
it's
that.
It's like an obelisk. It's like a perfect kind
of... It doesn't feel good,
rectangle.
Good in my hand. I don't like the squareness of it.
It's a little sharp on the edges.
Right.
That's,
right.
I think, what's doing it.
Although, the iPhone 5 is like that, but it's much smaller.
Right.
So it's not as... but that's kind of...
You said this is Diet Coke proof?
Allegedly, if I remember right, I haven't, like, dived into the specs on it yet, but I think that the Xperia Z is water resistant. So
and it yes,
has,
it is.
Yes, it has a little door at the top that covers the headphone jack, for example, which looks and says it's a headphone jack, but looks suspiciously proprietary.
Proprietary headphone jack. Bad.
Sony doesn't do proprietary.
Yeah.
It is a proprietary headphone jack?
It's what it looks like, yeah. Again, I have not.
It looks like it might take a standard one, but it would also take something that would give it controls if Sony sold one.
Top, and it says, it indicates that it is the headphone, where the headphone jack is, and it is definitely is not your basic round. Unless it is, and it's just an odd shape. It actually may be. The shape may just not look like it. Yeah, hand me a...
I think it's a headphone jack, but I bet they sell like an enhanced pair of headphones with some controls built in, because it looks like it's got additional connectors on the sides.
Yeah, this actually... Works. That works. Okay. I take back my slanderous comments. Sorry, Sony. Oh, and look. Water resistance. It's got a little thing.
Oh, it tells you it's open.
When you've plugged it?
Right, right.
It's in water resistance mode?
Yeah. All right. Super groovy.
As long as it doesn't resist functioning properly.
Right.
All right. 713-526-5738. Groovehouse. I see that we have somebody in the queue or a couple of people. 713-526-KPFT if you want to be on the air. We've got open lines. Who do you have up first for us?
Up first on the second half of the show, we are going to speak with Matthew.
Matthew, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey, listen, the last call you had was talking about Google Chrome. Is that a better browser than Firefox?
It's a different browser than Firefox. There are some that say that it's better. Some that don't like it so much. I'm a big Chrome fan. I like it. I find it to be very lightweight. It just feels like it works very well.
The best feature of it is that it syncs across multiple platforms, multiple computer types. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I use Chrome at work, and I have a Mac at home, and it syncs all my bookmarks, all my cookies, all my extensions.
Oh, wow.
And on my phone, on my iPhone, it also has all of my bookmarks there.
Yeah.
So
No kidding. That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, Firefox will do that too, but the process for syncing is actually clumsier. You have to like have a canonical version of it somewhere. You have to log in with authentication. Chrome is a lot simpler. And I agree with Jay. It just feels faster and lighter.
Yeah, I mean, there's no harm in having multiple browsers installed on your computer so you can play with them, see what you think about them.
Okay.
But I like Chrome quite a bit.
Cool. Yeah, still on the Google Kit. This Gmail thing. All of a sudden, I'm getting. You know, like I'll go to a site and then I open up my Gmail. That's advertising all over my Gmail account that pertains to whatever it was I was browsing about. And I read an article where
Well, now wait a minute. When you say all over, what do you mean all over?
Well, for instance, I'm a photographer. I think I've told you guys that before. Okay.
Yeah.
And I frequent digital photography previews a lot, and sometimes I might go to Amazon to look for some equipment or something like that. But whatever equipment I'm looking for, there's something pertaining to that on my when I open up my Gmail account. There's something pertaining to whatever it was I was browsing on, somewhere around the sides of it, somewhere, you know. And I read an article that they were talking about Google's attempt to, well, it seems like they're trying to legalize spam is what it seems like to me. They're trying to figure out some kind of way to make it
legalize
work.
Spam.
Yeah.
Well, what happens with Gmail and with just about any other free service like this, they don't make any money off of you by giving you a free email account. So they subsidize that with advertising. Okay. They don't send you email. They don't send you a spam email. To me, spam is an unsolicited commercial email trying to sell me something. But what they do is they add advertisements to the site. So if it looks through your email, and if it sees keywords, if you got a lot of email about photography. It'll show you photography ads. It may also interface with cookies on your system. I'm not sure how it's getting those ads to you, but they're pretty unobtrusive. And in fact, if you get Google Chrome and you install it and then you get the ad block add-on for it, you don't see any of the advertisements.
Oh, okay.
But it's understandable that Google would, you know, they're making their money off of ad revenue. So they are targeting ads at you that, you know, might actually pique your interest and cause you to click through. And they make money if you click through on one of those ads. And that's how their business model is set up, so that they can actually make money, because there's no money in just giving you free email with gigs of storage for email and taking care of delivering all of your messages. There's no money in that.
Makes sense. Okay, I'm the guy with the telephone that dials up everybody, remember?
Yep.
I upgraded to the new operating system. Didn't work. It still does. It doesn't do it as frequently as it did before, but it's still doing it. I've never seen anything like it. Now, you guys said that there are other instances of that, and I was wondering if anybody has any kind of solution, because it's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing to have my friends call me and ask me what I want all the time, and I didn't call them.
When we last spoke, I had spotted a discussion of it in the Apple discussion forums. I did not notice a fix. Did you go looking in the Apple discussion forums?
Yeah, I even talked to Apple. They didn't tell denial about it. You know, when you speak to a tech, they didn't tell denial. As a matter of fact, they had to help me to load up the new operating system. I ran a few glitches, but I got it working.
They
claim that it doesn't happen at
did
all.
Did you point out to them that there are discussions of it in their discussion forums?
Did you call them out?
Did you call them out on it?
No.
You should do that. Chances are they do know about it, but they just don't have it in their big book yet. Uh-huh. And the way it works is things come out of the discussion forum. They investigate it. When they determine that there's a fix, they pass it on to the techs.
Uh-huh.
And so it's probably at the stage where they haven't done that. Although it's been around for a while. I saw instances of it in iOS 4 in the discussion.
I mean, board. If I look at I just did a Google search on iPhone calls on its own, and took me right to the support communities, and people are talking about it. Now, you have an iPhone 4?
4S.
Yeah. It's definitely an issue. I have not seen it in person. Now, we were at DEF CON. Somebody said that they were getting their phone was making phone calls.
That's a little bit different. There's probably someone pulling the strings behind that puppet phone.
Well, I'm wondering if it's like some kind of, does it only happen when you're at home, or do you have?
No. It'll happen just randomly. I had company over, and my telephone was on the table, and I was sitting on the couch, and my telephone rang, and I went over and picked it up. And this friend of mine called and said, "What's up?" I said, "Hey, nothing, man. I got company right now."
Somebody on one of the discussion forums says that they think that he had the problem, and it was caused by a defective SIM card. And he had his SIM card replaced, and it fixed the problem for him.
Huh.
So you can go, like, who's your provider? Is it AT&T?
AT&T, yes.
Go to an AT&T store and just tell them that you're having this problem with your phone, and you suspect it might be your SIM card, and they should be able to swap out SIMs for you for no money.
Well, I went to AT&T first, and they said it's not their problem. They said it's Apple's problem.
Well, just tell them that you were looking online and you're having this problem, and that somebody suggested it might be a defective SIM, and would they be willing to replace your SIM card to see if that cleared it up?
Okay, I'm going to give that a try.
Or you could just say that, you know, yeah, it'd be hard to prove if they asked to see it, but you could just say your phone, like, my phone really did this, and this is how I got a new SIM card, because my phone every once in a while would say no SIM detected. Do you ever see that?
No, I've never seen that.
Well, just tell them you see that.
I saw that on my BlackBerry a lot.
telling me, seeing that, telling that you're getting every once in a while you're getting a no SIM detected error and you're having to restart your phone and they'll replace your SIM.
Worst case, I mean, they'll sell you one for $5. But,
really?
But yeah, they will. I've bought extra SIMs before. I should have said what you said, but I said I lost it, and they said, here's another one for $5.
Right. So, yeah, get a new SIM. See if that clears it up.
Thank you guys very much.
All right. Good luck. Thanks. Bye. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We have plenty of time left. Dwight is just all kinds of photo updating his Twitters. That's a nice photo.
Which one? The one I took of you?
Yeah.
Yeah, except it looks like you're chewing on a microphone cord.
It looks like I'm gagged by a giant microphone cable.
Yeah.
I look like I got some kind of weird microphone hat with a chin strap like I'm in one of those British soldiers out in front of Buckingham Palace.
I like the camera on that phone a lot.
It's not a bad resolution image. I like it. I noticed you steadied that one by putting it on the ground, but that's
because I wanted that
that angle.
Yeah.
I wanted to share two tips. One is, whenever possible, shoot with your camera upside down. You know, if you're doing portrait, you shoot with the lens of the camera down close to a tabletop or something. That's a nice perspective. I've just been doing that. Other tip I want to share that I'm sure everybody else knew this, but I didn't know this. Every once in a while, you find yourself in need of an extra email account. Not an account, but an extra email address to sign up for a service. Say you sign up with a service and you want a second account with that service for whatever reason. Like if you want a secondary Flickr account or you want something, but they require you sign up with an email. If you have a Gmail account, you can punctuate your username anywhere you want with a period.
Right, and Gmail essentially doesn't. It's invisible to Gmail.
It's invisible to Gmail, but it appears to be a whole other email address. So I have my email address at gmail.com. I can insert a period. So instead of my email is not j at Gmail, but let's just say it's jlee@gmail.com. I can put j.aylee@gmail.com, and I'll still get the message. So that's kind of cool. So, if you're wanting to set up a whole bunch of Twitter sock puppets or something like that, you can use the same email address and sign up for multiple services. And you can also tell where spam is coming from at that point. If you sign up with something.
Yes, and use it, right.
And you can look for email that comes into, with that period in it and see where you're getting that stuff from. And then you can always just set up a filter and send anything that comes to that address right to your spam folder. So it's kind of cool. Just a nifty little tip I discovered in the wonderful world of Gmail. So get yourself a really long at Gmail account, and then
you're golden.
You're golden, right. All right, Grewhouse, the golden Gmail guy.
I am a golden Gmail guy.
Hey, are you doing any photography lately? Gmail guy?
Gmail guy, no.
No? Nothing? Nothing good?
I don't know.
I saw you calling out for, like, portrait shoot.
Just something for fun.
Golden hour.
Yeah.
I wish I hadn't been so far away and it wasn't a weekday. I had to come out.
No tickers.
I need some headshots. All right, Groovehouse.
Yeah.
Photographer guy, Gmail guy. Who's up?
Yes, Jay Lee, photographer guy, radio host guy.
Gmail guy.
Gmail guy. Up next on the show, we are going to speak with Carl.
Carl, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Thanks, Jay.
You're welcome.
Last night I was trying to watch Under the Dome, which is this new series on CBS.
Yeah.
And, I was starting at the first, and couldn't get it on my iPhone. And, I was just kind of wondering if y'all had any recommendations on how to best watch TV shows on my iPhone.
Well, if you want to watch TV shows on your iPhone, the only way I know of to do is to download them from the iTunes Store, or if you have Xfinity, they have the Streamcast.
You can also, not for CBS, but CBS has the CBS.com app, and that will allow you to watch their shows.
Amazon.com, I think, has Under the Dome for free as well.
Well, the pilot.
For Prime.
The pilot.
Oh, I've been watching it
the whole
for
thing?
Free. I haven't paid for anything.
Really?
And it's legit. Yeah, it's not pirated.
Do you have an Amazon Prime account? Sir?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't know what you're talking to.
Do you have an Amazon Prime account?
Should I get one?
Well, it's if you do, it's $75 a year, I believe.
First of all, do you have cable?
No, I don't have a TV.
You don't have cable, don't have TV. Okay, so a lot of the premium, like if you go to CBS.com.
I went there, but they didn't have the first episodes, it didn't seem like.
Do you download the app?
They may.
Okay.
Yeah, download the app. Get the CBS.com app and see if that lets you do it. I'm going to check that out myself.
the Prime account gives you free shipping from Amazon on most items.
For two-day shipping.
For two-day shipping.
And then one-day shipping is like $3 or $4 in addition.
But what it also gives you, it gives you essentially a Netflix-like account.
Uh-huh.
That will let you stream things, some things for free, and other things at a reduced cost. And I haven't looked at Under the Dome, but I know that it is available. If it's available on Amazon, he says it's free with a Prime account. You know, if you do a lot of buying from Amazon, it may be worth it.
Or it might be worth it if you want to have a lot of streaming content available to you.
Okay. Yeah.
Or a Hulu account. Right. I know Hulu doesn't do CBS. But they do other television stations like ABC and Fox. So like the day after you can, and the streaming Hulu account's only like $8 a month.
$8, right. It's the same as Netflix.
Okay. Yeah, it was odd that I'd do a search and it really came up lying to me about, you know, I'd do watch Under the Dome and then it would come up with these different websites, but then I went to the website.
No, you want to be careful of those.
Yeah, if he's doing it on iPhone, it's not going to hurt him, but those are generally are not legitimate locations. Uh-huh. The other thing that's coming to Houston is a service called Aereo, A-E-R-E-O. It should come, it's coming, launches mid-September in Houston, and what it will do, it captures broadcast television signals.
Uh-huh.
Saves them to cloud servers, and if you're a subscriber, and it's also $8 a month, you can save it like a DVR and then stream it when you want to see it on your iPhone or your iPad.
Or anything else.
You can also watch it in real time if you like, but you can essentially tell it to record what you want to see. It gives you, if I remember right, 20 hours for that price, and then for a little bit more, you get 60 hours. Of storage.
I have just installed the CBS app on my iPhone, and I'm looking to see if they. And then I go to shows. Let's see, and now, then I can search. Go ahead, Barrett.
Is there? Dwight might be able to talk about this. I'm seeing like just about a week ago, a lot of information on CBS Blackout on the Time Warner side, and where they're just not putting shows up there, and people are jumping to Aereo because of that. Could this be one of the shows that were delisted, or would they still be?
No, because Time Warner isn't here.
Not the main. Okay,
right. And he's not a Time Warner customer.
Okay.
He doesn't have cable. So what's happening is that in New York, where Aereo is already active and where that dispute is going on, Time Warner is telling people, hey, if you want to see it, go use they've kicked CBS off there, and they're telling people, go use Aereo to watch it streaming.
Okay.
But those are your options if you...
I still haven't been able to find Under the Dome. The search feature doesn't seem to work that well on the app.
Yeah, that could also be our connection in here.
Well,
but,
I'm actually on my cell signal. Yeah.
But give it a you can give it a try that way, and certainly if you wait for Aereo, you might be able to get it.
Is Under the Dome? Have you watched any of that?
No, I haven't. They're just saying it's really good.
You can also purchase. I know that on iTunes.
It is on iTunes. Yeah,
it's on iTunes. You do pay for it. You can download the pilot for free on iTunes.
Oh, okay, cool. I'll go there. So that'd be a good start to see if I want to spend the rest of the money.
Yep, right. Because it is free.
Okay. Hey, appreciate all the info, guys.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for your call.
You bet. Bye.
I've seen the pilot for that. Not the pilot, but I've seen the ads for it. Doesn't strike me.
No, apparently it's
Stephen King based. Apparently.
Right. I read the book, and the book was eh.
TV shows have gotten expensive on Apple. I thought they used to be $1.99 for regular standard def and $2.99 for high def, but these are three. Well, I guess we shouldn't be talking about prices. It's just getting expensive.
Well, and I think Under the Dome is
it
longer than an hour.
Okay.
Is it more than an hour?
42 minutes per episode,
oh, really?
Standard TV time.
Yeah.
I like the idea of being able to buy individual episodes, but they need to be economical.
So this is how I'm doing television since I've cut the cord. I'm buying season passes for the things I want to see, and they generally run between $25 and $35. But for the number of shows that we watch a year, we still pay a lot less buying things a la carte.
I'll buy some shows. Mostly I'm just doing, streaming services, like legit. You know, between Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu, I can see
most
things. And things that I can't see, they're not really on my radar. So
I get notifications on my phone whenever somebody adds me to a circle on Google Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recognize most of the names of people that are adding me to circles on Google Plus. But I got to say that this person, I want to know who they are. I got added to a circle on Google Plus by someone by the name of Bodlar Deathbringer.
And maybe you don't.
I don't know who Bodlar Deathbringer is, but I want to see what that's about. We'll see. All right, so 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us here on Technology Bites. He has quite the mohawk, according to his profile pic. He's an artist, I think. Google Plus is getting to be like MySpace, where I'm only getting added by people that are trying to sell me stuff, like bands and artists and stuff. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up next?
Up next on the show.
Is it Bodlar Deathbringer?
It might be.
All right.
Or it could be John.
John, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, if you buy a tablet PC, are you stuck with what comes on it?
Yep.
No matter what kind it is?
Well, if you buy a Windows tablet, I would imagine that there are hacks to where you could conceivably install Linux on it.
And with the Android tablets, you can usually put a different ROM on there.
A different ROM.
Yeah, a different version of Linux, but it's still kind of Linux. But that also comes down to someone had to have created an image for that specific piece of hardware. So it's something you definitely want to look for before you leap into a hardware purchase and just hope that someone's done something for it.
It also depends on the Windows tablet. If you buy a Windows RT tablet...
Yeah, you're stuck.
With that runs on an ARM chip, you're not going to be able to put anything...
What is it you're trying to do? Or want to do?
I just don't like how it looks with all this prefab stuff that,
Which tablet are you talking about?
It was kind of a no-name at Fry's. It was like $159.
Is it an Android or is it a Windows or what?
I couldn't figure out how to get it to tell me. And
probably.
The salesman didn't.
Probably an Android.
Yeah.
At that price.
It's not like you could take an Android device and install Apple on it or install Windows on it. There are people that modify, the Android operating systems. For example, I had a Galaxy, phone, and I found somebody who'd modified the operating system that was a lot cleaner, had some more features, and it was not easy, but I was able to replace what was on the phone with this mod, what they call a mod, and had what I wanted. But if you're I don't know if you have any experience doing that kind of stuff, it's not super easy to do, so chances are, if you're having to ask if you're stuck with it, chances are you're probably stuck with it.
Yeah.
Is it a 10-inch? Do you know?
7 or 10.
Okay.
I think the 159 was the 7-inch one.
That makes sense at that point.
I think it was 179.
Do you know at all the brand?
If you said it, I'd be able to tell you, but I can't think off the top of my head. It's like nobody ever heard of Daewoo, but then all of a sudden you knew the name, what I mean?
Right.
It's something like that, some Chinese-sounding name.
Because what you might be able to do is, there's a whole community of people who hack Android devices, and you might be able to find somebody who's done something unusual with that.
I can only find phone stuff looking online.
Is it the Kobe, I wonder?
C-O-B-Y?
No, it wasn't Kobe.
And it's not Asus. That's fairly well-known.
No, it wasn't Asus. It was...
it must be a closeout, because I just went through all of Fry's looking for, tablets in that price range.
I was there a couple of weeks ago, and it probably was a closeout.
Okay, I'm not seeing it anywhere.
As a matter of fact, I think they only had a return one. But it's one that comes in several colors, if that tells you anything.
So what is it that you didn't like about it?
Everything was purchase this or purchase that, if you wanted to play any games or... The only thing they had was a browser, but it was just loaded with ads.
Right. Well, a lot of those things come pre-installed with what they call crapware or adware. You don't have to use it, and some of it can be removed, and, or you can, you know, kind of bundle it out of the way, you know, put it into a folder or something and get it out of your way, and then start to install apps that are going to do what you need them to do. And there's, in the Android environment, there's a ton of free stuff. So you'd be able to do email, browse the web. What else do you want to be able to do?
Not much. I just didn't like being stuck with what they
had. Have you found the Google Play Store or Google Play? Maybe depending on what version of Android it's running, it may be called different things.
No, and they had the they specifically have the Wi-Fi disabled in Fry's so that people can't go mess with stuff.
Do they have it where, like, do they have a return policy where if you buy it and you play with it and you don't like it, you can return it?
You cannot return it. If you just don't like it, no.
Well, you should have access.
Oh, you can, too. Yeah. If they have a return policy, you know.
Well, I think they have a 25%.
Oh, restocking fee?
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
All right. Well, anyway.
Well, go ahead, Barrett.
There should be. You should have access to either it's called Google Play or
but
the
he
Google
doesn't
Store.
Have the device.
Yeah, but the point, though, is that once you get that, you're not necessarily stuck with everything that's on there. You should be able to take off, like, all their appware, and then there are a lot of free applications out there in the Android world that you can go through the Play Store and go get those. So
right,
it's not you're not stuck with only what you saw in there.
Yeah, that's true.
Are you can get, that's what I'm trying to get here, is it's you're not buying just the apps that you saw.
Right.
If you can go back and see that it's got Google Play or the Google App Store, whatever they call it, like Mac during whatever, you know, they version 3, version 4, what have you. If that's there, you can get rid of, chances are you can get rid of a lot of stuff that's on it and then go get the apps you want.
Well, that's, to clarify, no, you're not limited to the things that are on there. You can add more stuff to it.
Right. But all I want to do is, it kind of reminded me of the Kindle, Fire, which all it wants to do is sell you stuff from Amazon.
Well, the Kindle Fire was designed primarily for doing Amazon stuff, but these Android tablets, the thing is when you get these discounted no-name tablets, they do, and just like a PC, they pre-install this crap on it because they want you to play with it, like it, and then go pay for the full version of it.
Right.
And unfortunately, in the Android world, some of those things cannot be removed. So, like, my phone that I had, my Galaxy S3 phone, my Galaxy S phone had a few apps on there I could not uninstall. So I just had to ignore them.
You can't if you root it.
Once I rooted it, they were gone, yes. It's not horrible to have them there. You don't have to use them. And you can go to the Google Play Store, go to the Marketplace, and download apps that you will use or that you do want. So those are available to you.
I think the best advice.
I checked out Google Play because I don't even have a smartphone, so I don't, you know.
If you want an Android tablet, you know, personally, my best advice is get something, and you're wanting a 7-inch, pony up and get a Nexus 7. It doesn't come with any garbage on it. It comes with the latest version of the operating system, and it directly, you know, you can go to the Google Play thing and download a ton of apps that are mainstream, that are available for Android and iOS and all that for free, and set it up. And the headaches, the savings don't equal the headaches unless you just really.
That's Pete. You just cut out. I don't know where you went, but he's probably going to say
unless I really just want to mess with it. But.
Well, you know, are you on a budget?
No.
Well, then get.
But I just don't want to throw money away.
Well, you're not throwing money away necessarily. If you want to get something to play with, you know, buy the cheap one that has the apps. Learn how to use it. But if you want to get an Android that's functional and does what you need it to do, then, like he's mentioned, get the Google Nexus.
Nexus 7 is really nice.
Yeah.
I make a 10-inch. I carry the Nexus 7. It's just, it feels good in your hand. It's really snappy. It does everything you need, and it comes with no bloatware. It's pure vanilla Android from Google.
Okay. That is a
so where did I cut off in that?
You cut off right after you suggested if you, you know, that you're going to save money.
The headaches aren't worth the money.
The headaches aren't worth the money, yeah.
Okay, good. Then I made my point.
Right. So, you know, good luck to you, sir. I appreciate your call tonight.
Thanks a lot.
All right. You know, he's one of those people I heard him say, you know, he doesn't even have a smartphone at this point. So he's looking at tablets and he's trying to, you know, get his feet wet, I guess. Until you have one and have it in your life and use it and see what it can do, it's hard to think of it in the abstract about what the potential is. So I think he's being distracted or being discouraged by, first of all, I don't know that I would buy a budget tablet. There are a lot of them out there. These places.
It's always attractive, and it's like, that's so cheap. And, you know, I've done it a couple times, and it's like,
and then when you get it home, it's, yeah, that's so cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's not, and, you know, in the pre-installed software may be the least of your worries. It may not be snappy. It may not have good performance. It might have other issues. So if you want to enter into the smartphone or the tablet market, you should probably, if you could justify it, pay up a little bit and get something that's solid and stable so that you have a more fluid and pleasant experience when you're using it. Like Pete was saying, you know, you may save the money on the short end when you buy it, but then you're going to just wish that you'd gone ahead and ponied up and bought something that was substantial and stable. All right, 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with Technology Bites, we're taking your calls. We got about 20 minutes left in the program tonight, and we invite you to give us a ring because we have time to take your calls. 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Hi, Groovehouse.
Hi, Jay.
How are you?
Good.
Okay, you
how's
have
it
a call?
Going in there?
It's going all right.
How's the camera?
Taking a picture every 30 seconds.
You checking on your phone lately?
You know what's, when I'm in video mode, I can actually see, what's being video, but when you're doing the time lapse, mm-hmm. It just says camera busy.
Oh.
So, as far as I know, it's still working. I'm going to have the greatest collection. Oh, it says searching for camera. Did it die? Maybe my battery.
I haven't seen a blue light in a while.
Yeah, there's no blue light.
Nope, no blue light. The battery, I wonder if it just died or.
It says camera business.
Camera business. All right. That's just weird if it does. It doesn't have a super, super long battery life from what I'm gathering, but I would have thought it would have lasted longer.
Was it charged or is it
fully charged? So I didn't get 2 hours out of it. Mm-mm. That's kind of strange. Either that or it just decided to freeze up. I wonder if it froze up.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, Groovehouse, who do we have up next?
Up next, we're going to speak with Chris.
Chris, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I got a quick question about some routers. There's houses recently, and a Comcast modem that has a built-in router.
Yeah.
Plugged it in upstairs, and does a good job upstairs, and not a very good job downstairs. So the house happens to have some wires, but I plugged one of my wires into the back of the router and took another router that it already had downstairs. There's a different router downstairs that's plugged into Comcast router. Didn't know if there's any issues with doing that or any problems with doing that.
Say again what you're going to do with it. You're breaking up a little bit. You're a little hard to hear.
I basically took the Comcast router, put mm-hmm. it in service, and then I plugged in the house wiring, you know, the Ethernet wiring, so I could put another router downstairs from the one I had. So I got two routers in the house. Comcast one, and then I have my Linksys one plugged into the Comcast one to the house wiring. I use that downstairs. I just wondered if there's any issues with that.
Is it working now?
It's working. I don't know if there's any security issues with that, or if it's...
There probably shouldn't be. They probably have two different subnets, because the Comcast gear works on a different subnet than the other, so it's probably, everything's probably fine. The only thing, you know, if you haven't tried to do file sharing between, for instance, like the wired, you know, the two different segments of the house, that might be the only thing you have issues with. But if you're not looking to do that, you're probably good to go.
Didn't know if a range extender would be a better idea than doing that.
Are you trying to get more Wi-Fi or get better range on your Wi-Fi? Or?
Yeah, the one from Comcast is upstairs in kind of a closet, so it covers upstairs. Yeah, but it doesn't go downstairs very well.
Well, there's no harm. I mean, so have you added a second Wi-Fi hotspot?
No, I just, you know, I had a router from my other house, so I just plugged it in.
He's essentially using it as a bridge.
You'll get faster speeds if you were to get another access point and then plug it in a different part of the house, you know, on like to the downstairs network. The problem with the range extenders, there's one or two ways to do it. You can either boost up the signal, which is like, you know, like putting an antenna on there. But the issue is you've got to do it on both sides. So you would have to have an antenna on the access point, and then you'd have to have an antenna on whatever wireless device you're connecting to it. The other way, they have repeaters, and the way the repeater works is it gets a packet, and then it hands it off, and it sends it off to the other device. So it kind of acts as a man in the middle. And so the result of that is you get half the throughput because it's, you know, doing two jobs. It's relaying a message. So if you want the fastest speed and you don't mind, you know, if you've already got, you know, two access points, or if you want to get another access point, I would say that's the better way to go. The repeaters could work, but again, you're going to see, you know, slower speeds as you get further away and as you're hanging off the repeater versus just the main access point.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that because I had the router already from my other house. This is when I moved into a new house, a new Comcast that came with the wireless in it, built in. So it's one of the issues I saw with that is just having, you know, when you go upstairs, you got to kind of kick the other one off in order to get on to one that has a better signal.
Yeah, I mean, what I did to kind of get around that, now you could, well, what I did to get around that is I set up, I got just a better Wi-Fi router, the one that was with dual band and that had extra range and that covered where I needed it to cover. You could disable the Wi-Fi on the router that's in the, that's coming into the closet and feed an Ethernet cable from that set up to a new Wi-Fi hotspot and have that be the only Wi-Fi hotspot located in a more central location in the house.
Yeah, I tried that. It's it's a pretty good router. I mean, it's one of the more expensive ones that Linksys has got. It still doesn't cover the whole house very well.
Really?
The pretty size house.
Well, I mean, are you, with what you have going on right now, are you, is it working?
Yeah, it's working. Just like I said, the only annoying thing is, you know, if you want to get a better signal upstairs or downstairs, if you move, you got to, you know, physically kick the other one off. So then,
SSID on both routers, if they are the same, will it jump to the more powerful router when you get within range of that?
It should.
Yeah.
So both. Do you have your SSID set up to be the same on both Wi-Fi access points?
No, it's venturing in the territory I'm not very familiar with.
Well, I mean, so you have a unique identifier for each Wi-Fi access point?
I do, yes.
Because if you were to go into one or the other and change it so that it had the same SSID as the other one and the encryption and the password matched, then it's conceivable that when you went from one, where you were, if you were in range of one and it was strong, it would connect there. But when you went and moved to another space, that it would latch on to the more powerful signal automatically.
Okay. I hadn't thought about that. I'm naming something different so I could tell what it
is. Right. And I may be wrong on that. I haven't tried to do that, but I think it will. I think that's the way that the repeaters work. Isn't that right, Barrett?
The repeaters are a little bit different. But, yeah, we'll see. The issue is on the encryption, if it uses, like, a different salt or, like, a different string of, like, random bits to start the encryption, it may not go. Depends on the model.
How do you do it? Like I know in my office we have Wi-Fi access points every so many feet.
Those are generally, like, corporate style, and they can actually do handoffs. They've got a mobile IP where you can, like, grab an IP address, and it will track where that IP address is on the different, you know, along the different wireless network. That's usually, you guys probably have a Cisco installation or something kind of pricey.
Yeah, we have that at the Chronicle.
Yeah, that's really nice. But that's also, you know, it's like 5 times as much as, like, 10 times as much sometimes as the home gear.
Well, like I said, it seems to be working fine. I just, you know, I had no idea about.
Try giving them both the same name. And what operating system did you say you're using?
Well, it just depends on which computer you're on.
I mean, so what you might want to do, too, is I'm getting, it's kind of hit or miss depending on what operating system, but you can go do a Google search for select strongest wireless signal automatically. And that's kind of what you want to do. So that way, like, when you bounce between the two, it'll just change over. And as long as, you know, you're just, like, surfing web pages and you're doing something, like, maybe if you stream a movie, it might hiccup, you know, or, like, some kind of a stream like that, it might hiccup moving between the two. But that might be your best bet. That way, like, you know, when you move from one part of the house to the other part of the house, it just jumps, and you shouldn't even miss a beat.
Okay.
I'll give it a shot.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. 713-526-5738. We're coming down to the, you know, the last part of the show, but we're not completely out of time yet. So if you want to be on the air, 713-526-5738.
And we evidently lost a very interesting caller that Groovehouse was excited about.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Any details on that?
No, just someone who had some praise for the show.
Oh.
It's all right. Hopefully they'll call back.
We like praise. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up next that's not going to praise us?
Up next is Gary.
Gary, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Praise, praise, and more praise.
All right, thanks. What's
up? I love you guys. Listen, I was just curious. I remember some years back that the latest and greatest and hottest thing was the Toshiba product. And then I heard something about their batteries being a problem. And now I don't see Toshiba anywhere. I mean, they've got no phones or pads, and I can't even find their TVs at Best Buy. Whatever happened to the Toshiba product?
Toshiba's out there.
Well, are they still popular? I mean, are they keeping up with the herd here?
Well, you're right. I haven't heard a lot about Toshiba laptops. I know that the
Toshiba laptops are out there.
But not like they were. I mean, you used to see satellites. You know, you couldn't walk over, you know, a computer meeting without tripping over a Toshiba satellite. You don't see those.
All of the, except for Lenovo, almost all the manufacturers right now of personal computers are struggling. And sometimes if a market is particularly bad, a company will de-emphasize it. So there may be, for example, a lot of Toshibas in Europe, but not so many here. But I see ads for them in the in Best Buy and so forth.
They're
on Sundays.
They're doing stuff, and also looks like they've moved over into the realm of making internal, different electronics that go inside of different products. So they're doing a lot of that, or so says Wikipedia.
They're doing, all right, and
are you just having some Toshiba detox going on?
I was just curious. I've noticed that a lot of, you know, like what happened to laptops. What laptops did to Dell, it seems like pads are doing to laptop makers, and it seems like, you know, like the Model T disappeared, you know what I mean?
No, they're just moving into other things. I mean, you don't see a lot of laptops, but I mean, they're making a ton of elevators, apparently. They're into storage, they're into all kinds of networking things.
Well, they make nuclear power plants.
Yeah, they're doing discrete semiconductors. I mean, they've got all kinds of semiconductors.
Semiconductors.
Yeah, those semi-mispronounced.
Okay, well, I was just curious, because they don't seem to be as popular as they were, and I was just wondering if they just kind of faded out of the market, or we're working on
them. The laptop and desktop market has been a little tough lately, so they may have made it. I can't speak for Toshiba.
We've got Toshiba printers, some really large office printers,
but they may have just realized that they needed to send their focus elsewhere.
I mean, even, you know, HP, that's been, you know, an old stalwart of, you know, desktops, they're having a really hard time. I mean, really, it's just kind of come down to Dell and Apple, it kind of seems like. Dwight, are there any other large players, laptops-wise, that are relevant? Sony, I suppose?
Sony is. But, you know, again, all of them are hurting right now. Lenovo is probably the one that's still doing well. Acer is still out there. Asus is out there.
And I would say if I was a company that had a lot of diversification and it was really, really lean in the laptop market, I would get out of the laptop market.
I would say that Steve Jobs took over the world.
I'm looking at Toshiba's website and their consumer line of notebooks. They have a full line of consumer notebooks. You can buy them there on the site. They don't look like they're slowing down to me.
Thank you, gents.
All right, thanks for your call.
In fact, I see what I like.
Oh, that's really cool.
A little frantic there.
God, in 60, I got to figure out how to adjust speeds and stuff. The tool I've got is not the greatest.
So, did we take it down early? Was it still doing video at the end?
It died.
It ran out of battery juice. So, I got like, I don't know how many. I got an hour and a half. So, it ends pretty unceremoniously with us just frozen in time.
With us not moving, it's kind of like we're looped because we do a lot of the same things over and over.
I could probably loop this and make a short loop out of it.
6 second vine.
It's very interesting. I love the flare from the lights. I need to figure out.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Put the, even do a couple versions. I wouldn't mind seeing the whole version of
and
that.
And set it to some music.
That's the whole.
Do something very kind of ethereal and strange so that it's counter to what
All right, so frame rate.
Can't see what. Tell everybody what you did.
I took all the still images.
We can back it up before that, I guess. You had on the window. Like in the studio.
I took the GoPro camera and I mounted it to the window that separates the control room with the studio and had it facing down as fisheye. So it got the three, Dwight, Barrett, and myself all in frame, most of the room in frame, and then took a picture every 10 seconds. And then I took all of those images and I stitched them together into a time lapse so you can see an hour and a half of the show go by in about 15 seconds, 20 seconds. So I'm trying to understand that I can save the frame rate as 30 frames per second or 20 frames per second or 15 frames per second. So I'm going to try it at 30 frames a second. I think that's going to make it go even faster, but maybe not. I don't know. I got to figure out a way to adjust the speed of the time lapse. But it looks like we have a call in the queue. One last call. Time for that last call. So... last call.
Last call, speed round. That would be Dan.
Dan, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
Technology does bite a lot. You know, it's frustrating sometimes. But anyway, I was wondering if you have any information about the cost of getting web development done in Houston in particular. It seems like it's hard to get a real read on the market. It also seems like it's hard to find people to do the work.
It kind of is. It depends on what kind of work you want done. One thing you can do if you're looking for people to, you know, come do the work, there's something called O-Desk, like the letter O. And it's kind of like I don't even know what you'd call it. You go out, you say, like, hey, I've got this kind of job, and people can put bids in on the job. So it's kind of like a temporary workforce where people can see what you're doing. You know, you can check them out. They check you out. You sign a contract or something along those lines, then they're actually doing web development for you.
This is all in Houston?
No. That's the thing. It's like if you're doing web development, you don't really need a face-to-face person. So O-Desk people could be all over the country. You could get a developer in Clear Lake. You could get a developer in Sri Lanka.
You know, I've tried doing work with people where there's distance involved, and I think the work goes better when you can get together face-to-face at times. I don't even think Skype or any other kind of video conferencing quite does the same thing as getting in a room with a person and working with them for a little while.
Granted, that I agree that that can be true.
That also is much more expensive, though. So
yeah.
Why?
Why?
Well, the time to travel. I mean, it's just, you know, if for instance, if you've got a virtual worker, they can probably manage... I would even say maybe twice the client load as someone that actually has to go make appointments, sit in waiting rooms, get the FaceTime, and then go from place to place to place. I did some consulting, you know, for like I was a consultant for 5 or 6 years, and for a lot of times, you know, the majority of my day was traveling and waiting, not actually working. And, you know, now that I'm doing remote work, the times that you actually are not doing real work, they're fewer and further between.
So you're saying the usual way to have web work done is to have it done by a virtual worker that probably isn't...
That's not the usual way.
It's a way.
And it's also a good way to see pricing.
If you're struggling to find somebody who can do it for the price that you're willing to pay locally, there are online resources to get access to people all over the world that are doing it. And you can initiate a discussion with them to see if they might meet your needs. But yes, it's hard to find a good web developer. It's hard to research them. I don't have a lot of advice for you on that. The one thing that Barrett suggested, the O-Desk, might give you access to more potential web designers that maybe somebody can speak to your concerns. Appreciate your call. Got to let you go. And that's it for Technology Bites tonight. We are done for the week. Done. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get out of here, so we appreciate you tuning in. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
See you next Wednesday night for more Technology Bites.
Many times, lunar solar power has been addressed before the sun comes up on Thresholds Thursday mornings from 6 to 7 a.m. on KPFT. David Criswell, Director Emeritus of the Institute for Space Systems Operations at the University of Houston Clear Lake, has been interviewed by George Ryder, physics professor at U of H. But this Thursday, with the sun shining, and on the next three Thursdays, August 26th, September 5th, and September 12th, from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., KPFT will feature programs on this vital subject. Do you wonder, what is lunar solar power? Is it too expensive? Are the petrochemical companies too powerful to allow lunar solar power? What impact will it have on jobs in Houston and life around the world? Members of the Lunar Solar Power Group, including Criswell and Ryder, will share ways for you to join the effort to make lunar solar power a reality. The lunar solar power discussion is coming to KPFT, Houston.
1 in 9 Americans listens to a local public radio station on a regular basis. Many use stations like KPFT to make voting decisions, music choices, their own conclusions about the world, or where to go over the weekend. That's because less than 0.5% of programming on commercial stations goes to local public affairs. Why not consider supporting KPFT as a major donor? Whether as an individual or an organization, major donors help KPFT in many ways. Major donors help big station projects and ensure KPFT gets the money it needs to survive without all those pledge drives. Just call our development director at 713-526-4000 to become a major donor today. Your donation of $5,000 or more helps keep independent arts, music, news, and views alive and kicking on the Gulf Coast. Become a KPFT major donor today. Call our development director at 713-526-4000 to join KPFT's major donor program. KPFT is indispensable, but we need you to keep our blood